You know, there are churches where you can't sing that last song. They just will not sing it the way we've sung it this morning. It gets slower and slower and, well, I can't describe it totally and completely. It's a testimony to the good song leader that we have. It's also a testimony to the responsiveness of the group in following that song leader, that that song can be done and be done effectively. It's a very special kind of song. We do welcome you here this morning, and as always, if there's some way that we can assist you, we'd love to know that, and there's contact information in the bulletin that would get you in touch, and we'd be glad to provide anything that we could. This world is not my home. Certainly not. We look around for people's addresses. Let's just run through those real quick. Don't you love when you come out to one of those places, you're looking for a house or a someplace to go, and you come to the corner of Peachtree and West Peachtree? Just one of those things that just can kind of drive you crazy. The next one is the corner of What Happened Was, and it's complicated. I guess that's real. It sure looks like it. The next one is the corner of Live Long and Prosper for you Star Wars fans. Star Wars fans, Star Trek fans. Just slipped right out. I'm sorry. That actually is a Jewish proverb. And if you know, Nimoy was a Jewish person. And so there's always a belief that he kind of slipped that in as something that was a testimony there. My favorite one, though, is this next one, the corner of Crooks Road and Corporate Drive. And then the whole reason for this beginning is the place, the cross street in our life as Christians. The cross street is in the world, but not of the world. That's the place where you live. And if you went to the cross street, that's where it would be. And the difficulty with that is those two things are total opposites. And yet, that's where we exist in this world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, that phrase has become very, very popular, and you'll see it a lot in connection with a number of different things. Doesn't actually appear in Scripture, not of the world does, but you certainly don't have to debate the fact that the concept is there and the teaching certainly is very strong. We could look at a number of passages to use as a text. This morning I'd like to use John chapter 17. We'll start in verse 14 and go forward. Jesus says, "I have given them your word," speaking of his disciples, "and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, I recognize the fact that they're not in the world. In fact, they're not even liked by the world because they're trying to serve me. And yet he says to the Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world because that would in many respects defeat the purpose. And so we're in that same situation. There are things that happen to us because we're Christians. And people sometimes don't like us simply for that fact. And the easy thing would be to move away from that, either leave Christianity or leave the world. And yet, that's not what we're going to do. I think it's critical to point out that when you look at in the world versus not in the world, in is the where, not of is the who. It's where we are, and we understand we are in this world. But who are we when we're not of this world? Well, we're people who belong to God. We're people who follow Jesus. You could call us the called out people. We're sanctified, the sacred vessels that are set aside for special purposes. We're sojourners. We're aliens. And the list could go on and on and on. And again, we're not encouraged to leave the world, although we'll talk about that just a little bit more as we go along. 1 Corinthians 5:10 says, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the world. Paul says you can't keep from dealing with some types of people because in order to do that, you'd have to leave the world completely. And that's not what God is asking or encouraging us to do. How do we remain in the world without becoming like the world? If you look at James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. There's three words that popped into my mind as I thought about this quandary, and they don't really balance, but I'd like to just share those three words with you because I think they give us a little better understanding of what our responsibility is, of what our role is, and how we can come to that place where we're not really part of the world, but we're in the world and we're doing what God wants us to do. The first word is impact. Mark chapter 6, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then you flip over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And those two things almost appear to be in contrast. We're supposed to go into all the world. And yet God says, but don't get attached to the world. Don't love the world. Don't go ahead and pick up the things of the world that are attractive to you. And that's really describes our whole circumstance and our whole situation. That really is what we're fighting with and what we're constantly trying to deal with. We're called to impact the world. We're not here just to survive it. We're not here to hide from it. And sometimes that's what we want to do. We can just conveniently move to some kind of mountaintop. And you see religious groups that do that. They cut off all connection with the world. But we can't do that because we have a responsibility to impact. We view ourselves as people who are here for a short period of time. We know that while we're impacting the world's also impacting us. It's changing our views. It's changing the things we know. It's exposing us to things that we'd rather not be exposed to. You may recall about 30, 35 years ago, maybe even longer than that, James Dobson served on the President's Council on Pornography. And one of the things that he has said repeatedly after that is that he wished he had never accepted that invitation. He wished that he had denied that. Because he said, there were things that I saw that I can never take out of my mind. I can never put those images aside. They'll always be with me. And there are things in this world that we can't remove. There are things that happen, things that we see, whether we intend to or not, that eat at our souls. And that's the world impacting us. As much as we're trying to limit that, it still occurs, not just in pornography, but in media, in experience, in listening to other people's language, and listening to other people's stories and reflecting other people's values. We get all kinds of impact in this world. And that's the place where we're not of the world. But we want to try to persuade just a little bit. So exactly how do we do that? It's a task. It's a responsibility. The second word that I'd like to share with you is the word retreat. You know, sometimes the world just gets so heavy that we need to retreat. We need to pull back. We need to get away for a while. We begin to understand that the world is having more impact on me than I am on the world. Or I'm suffering. Or I'm experiencing this or that, and it's having such a negative impact that I need to pull back for a while. I don't know about you, but some days I just can't look at the media. It's just too depressing. There'll be another shooting, There'll be another quandary. There'll be another unfairness. There'll be another debate. And so sometimes you just say, I'm not going to do that today. I don't want to be connected to the pain of this world. And we look around us and we see people who are suffering sometimes from their own actions as a consequence. But we also see people who are totally innocent. And things have happened to them because other people were evil. And the pain of that just becomes so much that you need to pull back for a bit. Now, there are people who say, well, there's no retreat. I remember when I was working as a youth minister a long, long time ago, I had gone over to another congregation. There were three church youth groups that were getting together for a fall retreat. And I ran into the pulpit minister at that congregation as I was coming in. And he said, what are you doing here? Well, I'm here to talk about the fall retreat. And he said, retreat? We don't retreat. We advance. And I was like, oh, hush. There are times when we need to retreat. We can't constantly be advancing. There are times when you pull back just a little bit. I coached soccer with a guy who taught the players, you never take the ball backwards. You always take it toward the opponent's goal. Well, that sounds like a good idea, but it's not a good idea at all if you're really going to play good soccer. You don't have space. You got all your people forward of the other person's goal. The World Cup's going on right now. Flip the World Cup on for just a minute and see if there's any team in the World Cup that follows that philosophy. No. There are times when you drop back, when you regroup, when you open space just a little bit. The best understanding of retreating is the reality that Jesus retreated. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That's not the only thing that he did. There were times when he stayed out of Samaria because he was retreating from something that he wasn't ready yet to have go on in his ministry. He stayed away from Herod for a while because it wasn't yet time. He retreated from that. There were times when he moved back from situations because the timing wasn't there. And the same is true for us. And as we look around at the world, and the world seems to just be threatening to take us over, there's nothing wrong with pulling back. There's nothing wrong with having some time away from the world. And I think that's where we can be really helpful to each other. Sometimes we don't recognize the fact that we're being overcome by the world. And often we need permission to shrink back a bit. And we can do that for each other. We can say to each other, you know, it might be good for you to take a break. It might also be good that we come back later on and say, might be good for you to get active again, because we can stay in that break. We certainly can. But if we'll give each other that encouragement, if we'll give each other those signals, if we'll give each other those opportunities, then we can be supportive of each other and we can pull back and retreat in the ways that we need to from time to time. The third word that's important for us in this situation is the word model. How to negotiate the world. There's only one who has come into this world and negotiated it perfectly. And that's Jesus, obviously. None of us are going to do that. But at the same time, people are watching us and people are interested in how we negotiate this world. How are we doing that? How are we moving forward? We look at ourselves and we think, oh, I'm not the person to be a role model here. My life is a mess. And the reality is, everybody's life is a mess. And the people who are out there who need a role model, they have a mess in their life. They're not going to look and say, oh, I want to see that person who's done everything exactly right except for the example of God's Son. They're going to look and say, I'm having trouble with my child. Is there anybody else who's had that problem? I'm having trouble with addictions. Is there somebody else that can show me how they've escaped from addiction? I'm dealing with financial collapse or financial ruin. Has anybody else been through that heartache? And that list goes on and on and on. And Satan invites us to disqualify ourselves and say, oh, there's no modeling that you can do. You're not a good example. And yet we can be an example. We can be an example of being successful because God has given us that opportunity. People don't really want lessons. They don't want sermons. They want lights that they can follow. In John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and we know that. The next sentence, though, is for us. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There are dark places where people can't see anything. And you may have been in one of those places where there's just total darkness, either physically or spiritually or emotionally. And what you're looking for is just some gleam of light, just a small flicker. That gives you something to follow. And when we're in the world but not of the world, the people of the world are constantly saying, how do I manage this? And through our light, we're saying, well, follow me. And I'll try to help you do that. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, the first part of that verse says, in everything set them an example by doing what is good. In a dark, dangerous, difficult place, it's so helpful to have an example. I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and the reason I watched it was because it was about sheep and how they had followed the leader. And this one sheep had decided to walk across a pipeline, literally over a gorge, and all the sheep had very carefully walked along behind it. And it was kind of interesting, but there was like six more minutes of video after that. And what it was a contest in the Middle East where these shepherds were competing against each other. And the competition was to see who could get their flock of sheep to cross a river in the shortest amount of time. And it was really, really interesting because the shepherd would get all enthusiastic and he would run and he would dive into the water and he'd come back up and he'd, in order to encourage the sheep to come into the water and go across, he'd start to communicate and encourage. But he didn't encourage the flock. He encouraged the lead sheep. There was one sheep that was spray painted. Wasn't a good idea because when they hopped in the water, all the dye would come off. But you knew who the lead sheep was. And every bit of his attention was focused on that one sheep. Because if he could get the lead sheep into the water, then all the others would jump in and come. And that was the challenge. And that's exactly how Jesus looks at this world through us. We're lead sheep. We're people that are supposed to model what God wants. And then other people see what we're doing and they follow along behind us. That magic moment when somebody comes to you and says, can I talk to you for just a minute? And the question is, how did you handle that? Or how were you able to deal with that? Or in essence, what's your secret? And at that moment, you have the opportunity to share with them so many important spiritual messages. They're interested. They want to know what it is that drives you. And that opportunity becomes literally incredible. This world is not our permanent dwelling. It's not our home. It's obviously a temporary place. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. And then Paul reminds us of the opposite extreme. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the passage that we all know, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we live in the world. But what drives us, what motivates us, what fills our time and what really gives us life is the fact that we're not of the world. You go back to the old movie E.T. What did E.T. want to do? Go home. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to leave this world and go back to his. And that's really what we become as Christians. And the longer we live here and the longer we stay here, the more compelled we are and driven to be home. And God provides us that answer. God provides us that opportunity. But if we're trapped by the world, the world hangs on to us and keeps us from doing that. This morning, I hope that you are of the world, or I hope that you are in the world, excuse me, but not of the world. And maybe we need to look at our own patterns and our own behaviors and really give it careful consideration. And maybe even think from the standpoint of, if somebody were trying to model me, would they see that direction? Would they know really where I'm headed? This morning, if there are changes that need to be made in your spiritual life, we'd be glad to help you do that while we sing this song together.